Sauce Podcast with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is current power forward for the Toronto Maple Leafs and one of the baddest dudes in the NHL, the Wayne Train, Wayne Simmons. Time to face off.
Alright, welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nast?
What's up, Rigorelli? I'm just still feeling a little sore from that shit kicking we took Sunday night from the Blue Devils, to be honest with you.
Mentally sore or physically? Because I'm mentally sore from that.
Well,
it hurts.
My buddy, I'm mentally and a little sore with the can opener Bobby got me with coming to the net. You don't have to do that to me. All you gotta do is touch me and I'll fall. You don't have to give me the can opener. I'm not the strongest on my skates anyway. So no, I was I want to say it was a good game, but it wasn't a very good game. It was for them. They actually pumped us pretty good, but it stayed close.
The pace was good. Yeah. Guys were moving and working, but
couldn't
score. And obviously they scored. So
love those guys.
Name of the game.
Good dudes. I wish we could almost play them every weekend just because it's way more competitive anyway. I could step down a level actually, but for you guys, it's pretty good.
Anyway. Yeah. I was getting used to the new Toby there. What do you call that? That model?
Yeah. The T92.
Right.
It's probably one of the most popular curves in hockey, in men's league and in the NHL. A lot of guys use that. The old Sakic, basically.
The old Sakic, yeah.
Going way
Which
back,
I actually but. Used to use, but then you got me hooked on this toe curve.
Well,
the hell thing is, but I got used to the flatness of the three quarters of the blade, which actually is nice for passing.
I could have played with a broom on Sunday because I could make a pass, take a pass. So I was not good for Toby if you were there watching. I apologize to our buddies. I was awful.
You had a few crispy passes and a couple hard back checks, though. I saw you moving the pins.
Well, it's probably because I turned it over trying to get back.
The old Toby turnover at the blue lines.
Way to go. I was trying to slow the game down. Meanwhile, it's 100 mile an hour in my mind, and they're just knocking it away from me and going the other way and laughing and thanking me.
Yeah, well.
We play them again in 2 weeks. So,
well, what's going on in Flyer Land? Well, Flyers Nation news? Anything good?
Nation. They headed out to West Coast, I should say, yesterday in Edmonton. Big tilt tomorrow night against the 5-0 Edmonton Oilers. Boy, they're flying. Connor McDavid's doing okay.
Yeah. I mean,
he's not a bad player.
Yeah, but 13 points in five games.
Thanks for coming.
Standard.
Yeah, pretty standard.
Without even working.
Oh my god, it looks like he doesn't even break a sweat. It looks like when he's playing.
Yeah, that's the truth. And a little tribute to the boys there too. I saw hopping on the old bird, rocking the Broadway hats.
Awesome to see, man.
Paying tribute to Jimmy Hayes. Yeah. Former Jimmy Hayes. Rest in peace, brother.
Man.
Tragic accident, and recently. Heard from his parents and family there that it was a lethal mixture of fentanyl and cocaine and something all too common, almost not just in sport but in society.
Yeah.
Just addiction and guys just struggling with ways to manage that. So I think as his dad said, we came public with this because we want to help save lives. If guys are struggling, speak up and let's get them some help. And unfortunately, Jimmy wasn't able to overcome his addiction, but there's hope for everybody. And I think there's a lesson here, and there's a positive message of hope for people that are struggling out there. So nice to see the boys support him and pay tribute to him.
It was awesome to see. Really awesome. I loved what Jersey did too last week with the jerseys, and just a great guy, man. We've talked about it before. He was an unbelievable person. And
yeah,
it's cool to see the guys wearing those hats. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was neat. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate again, like you said, and it's hard to talk about, you know, because it's like, it's such a real issue, and it's more real than most people want to talk about. You know, it has to take something like this for people to start raising some awareness around it. So.
Yeah. So the boys are headed out west here. It's going to be a big trip because, you know, they dropped the last game, but Florida's a good team. I didn't think that the boys played bad. It was a close game down to the end.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about them right now, man. They've got some balanced scoring. Carter looks good. Jones played well in his debut, which was nice to see. I like this. I like them going in to play Edmonton right now. And Edmonton's 5-0, but I got a good feeling about this game. It's Carter's second time back. His first game didn't go as well as he wanted for his homecoming. It was actually my 2000th game. That was my 2000th really? No game. Way. And he got the hook. Can't really blame him. I mean, they were just buzzing. I mean, you got Draisaitl and McDavid
flying around.
They caught us sleeping early, but, anyway, back, I know Carter's going to be really focused. If he's playing, I'm assuming he'll be playing that game. It's hometown, but I like the way they're playing, Riggs. I really do.
Yeah, me too. They really showed a lot of positive things in the last few games. Like you said, they dropped the last one. I mean, Florida's a really good team. I mean, they're still 6-0, they just play fast and move the puck and get the puck to the net, and they're just doing all the right things, but there was a lot of positives out of that game, and obviously the games leading up to that one. I think it's going to be a good test. Get on the road, play obviously another strong team that's fast again, and just you know, have to buckle up. But interested to see how Carter does as well. I mean, I think you said it's the second time. It was because of COVID that you guys never line up going again, right? So obviously he's all jacked up for this game, as the rest of the boys are. So. Good luck to them on their Western swing there. There's a few other teams there. They're still undefeated. St. Louis, 5-0. Obviously, Edmonton, Florida, 6-0. Carolina, which is surprising to have that many teams go undefeated for 5-6 games. But obviously, that will come to an end sooner than later.
Carolina, I'll tell you, I've watched them play a couple times. You talk about a team playing fast, man. Roddy, they play fast. They really do. And they're actually very accountable defensively, too, as fast as they play. I don't want to call them a run and gun team. It almost seems like they are because they're so fast, but they play so well defensively. And he's got those scoring forwards coming back, playing both sides of the puck.
Yeah.
You know, Aho. I mean, and you see it in their play. You see it in the scores of their game. I mean, they win, man. And they're a tough team to play against.
Yeah. 100%. That's what I noticed about Florida as well. Not to go back to Florida, but, you know, as much as they were pressing offensively, like they really helped Bob back on the back end and getting back. And, you know, it's almost like, remember Lavi back in the day was like, he's almost like, you know, preaching offense. But it's like telling guys to make, you know, obviously calculated risk plays. But like, if you make a mistake, it's like, we got to get back and defend. Right. I mean, that should always be the mentality. But good teams do that because you can't sacrifice the offense by just playing overly defensive. But you know, your good mistakes going to be made and you got to have to hustle back and readjust. So it is interesting that you can get guys to work both sides of the puck. If you know, obviously if you're a good coach and you can get guys to buy into that, but interesting stuff there, and be interesting how these teams move forward because
even Calgary's had a good start. I know they're going to play them too. I mean, they're playing well also. So.
Yeah. Lots of good hockey already early.
Yeah.
Early on, so. Well, Nast, this week's interview was brought to you by Fans of Philly. As you know, Fans of Philly is the number one organizer of Philly fan trips for all sports.
That's right, Riles, for the upcoming Flyers trips. They are going to New Jersey, Arizona, Seattle, the New York Islanders' new building,
nice,
and Nashville. And you have to make sure that you come join us. Me and Riggs, Nasty Knuckles, with the Fans of Philly in Arizona, December 11th. I think we'll be leaving a couple days before that.
Yep.
And we're also going to be going to Nashville in the new year in March, right around my birthday, Riggs, right around yours.
Yeah.
I think this could be a lot of fun. I know it will be.
Oh, yes, it will be.
Really looking excited. Really excited to join these guys and be a part of it. It's exciting. And these guys know how to do it. I've met a few of the people and seen them out. You see, you know, you see them at the games and it's just, they're in it, man. It's awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah. You and me both, dude. It should be a great time. And obviously they've done an amazing job there at Fans of Philly, bringing all Philly sports fans to different games and events and putting on a nice production. So, looking forward to joining them, having some fun with them and getting on the road. It's been it's been pretty dry the last couple of years around travel for me. So
I'm not going to know what to do. Well, maybe you'll know what to do, man. Maybe I do.
Hasn't been that long.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So looking forward to that. Fans of Philly, check them out. Wait. So we are excited to tell you about a new partner we have at Amazon Music.
Yes, Amazon Music is offering you 3 free months of a membership. No credit card needed, Riggs.
No credit card?
Nope.
May as well head to getamazonmusic.com/nasty, and that's it.
Riggs, you get 75 million songs in HD, no commercials, always on demand. Listen to unlimited music and podcasts like Nasty Knuckles right there. And just like Rick said, type in getamazonmusic.com/nasty for 3 months free.
Beautiful, Nast. Yes. Sounds like a great deal and no credit card. Loving that. Who wants to bring out the plastic if you don't have to?
I don't. I mean, even though you're rocking the black Amex, I mean, it's not a big deal. You just don't want to bring it out.
Who does?
I know.
All right, Nast. I think it's time. Let's get into episode 46.
Let's do it, baby. Man,
the Wayne Train, Wayne Simmons. Let's go.
Sim Daddy.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. This week, we are so fortunate to have our good friend, power forward, the Wayne Train, Wayne Simmons. Sim Daddy, what's up, my man? I love you. And I miss you, brother. Not.
I miss you too, man. Miss you too. How's everything, guys?
Good. What's up, Simmer?
Not much. We're just in Carolina right now. So, you know, we got a little off day here, a little downtime.
That's my hometown, baby.
There you go.
Hey, you guys, boys are probably like, get us out. Why we got to be here for a day off?
No, it's actually nice, man. It's nice. The weather's nice. It started getting a little bit colder in Toronto. So we come down here, you know, get a little bit of nice weather, chill before we play on Monday. So, it's not a bad place to be. I'm not complaining. Trust me. There's way worse places than being in North Carolina at the Umstead right now.
Right? I was going to say, I like that Umstead. That's a nice hotel there.
Yeah, it's solid. They keep it in good shape here.
Great steamer there, Riggs. I don't know if you ever got it. You stayed at the Umstead, Riles.
Of course. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
It's a good stop.
That was where Bucky had his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bucky. Buck Diddy lit that place up.
Yeah. I don't walk in the lobby and senior assistant coach giving foot massages in the lobby.
at 3 a.m.
That's always a good sign, man. Oh, man.
Him and Aaron. Right. Ash. Oh, man. But anyway, Simmer, what's going on, man? You're in your hometown getting to play hockey, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's great. It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, last year, obviously, you know, it was my first year with Toronto, and obviously with COVID and everything like that, we weren't able to have any fans at all in Canada. I think we got to the last game of the playoffs, we had 500 frontline workers attend the game to watch us, but that was about it. So I think this year, to get the fans back in the building, you know, have my wife and daughter be able to come, you know, other friends and family come to watch me play, and finally being, you know, the year is getting a little bit better. COVID's progressing a little bit more, and I'm so happy. I'm excited to be, you know, on the Maple Leafs and playing in front of, you know, my hometown. You know, there's nothing like it, I don't think.
That's one of my Toronto's. Obviously, it's one of the best organizations in hockey, and it's just such a great place to go to a game. Trying to get a ticket there is insane too, as well. it's got to be cool, like you just said, to get to play there, and you play with some pretty good players as well, man.
Yeah, they're not too bad. The boys aren't too bad, right? Maddie, Mitch, Johnny, Willie.
Yeah.
No, we got a good cast. You know, Muzz on the back end, Momo, You know, a lot of good players. You know, those are just some of the guys.
Yeah.
But still, no, it's been nice. It's been nice being in Toronto. They treat us right.
Yeah.
You know, first class organization. So, you know, I got no complaints over here at all.
It's got to be a dream come true. I mean, playing for the Maple Leafs growing up, that had to have been on the radar.
You know what? No.
No,
I was a Red. I was a big Red Wings fan.
No way.
A lot of people aren't going to like that, but I was a huge Red Wings fan. I was like,
wow.
My first favorite player ever, Sergei Fedorov.
Oh.
With the white Nike skates. You know,
yes.
Nasty has the flag.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you got the style, man.
Yeah, the flair, man.
So he was my favorite player growing up. And so I just gravitated to the Red Wings. And then obviously I'd watched the Leafs play quite a bit, being from Toronto and then being on TV pretty much every night, you know, that they had a game. So, yeah, I definitely enjoyed, you know, watching the Leafs, but they were never my number one team. And then, like, before, you know, when I was younger, I was like, yeah, you know what, maybe I wouldn't want to play for the Leafs. And then, you know, a couple of years ago when I got a chance to sign, you know, I jumped on it. I just kind of had, like, the bubble went, like the light went on in my head. And I was like, what do you mean? You dummy? Like, this is your hometown team. Like,
all right.
You know, you're from here. It would be an honor to play for the blue and white. So,
yeah.
And it's been everything that, you know, anyone has ever said to me, you know, that's about awesome. The organization. Everything's been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm definitely happy I took that opportunity a couple of years ago to sign here.
Yeah, I was happy for you. The
yeah, you look good in blue, dude.
Yeah, you did.
The orange or black, but you look good in blue, yeah. Too, man.
That's it, that little 2-4 blue-white.
Philly will always be my second home, no matter what. I think when, you know, you come through Philadelphia, I think the love that I got from the fans, you know, obviously the organization itself, you know, every single person within the organization, I had a great time in Philly. I loved it. You know, the fans are nuts there. I thrived off of it. It was just like sending a jolt through your body every time you'd step on that ice, you know?
Yeah.
So, Philly will always be a second home to me. No doubt about that. Don't get that twisted.
I'll tell you what,
Simmer, I don't think in the eyes of any fan in Philadelphia, you could do any wrong. I mean, you talk about a fan favorite. We'll get into that in a minute, but I don't think you could ever do anything wrong here in Philadelphia, man. But I wanted to ask you one quick question about T.O.
Yep.
You guys, you're not off to the start you wanted. Obviously, it's 5-6 games in. It's not a big deal. Yeah. 2-3-1. But I wanted to ask you about, I know when we would always go into town, we're not, me personally, you know, went to Toronto a lot of times. The media, do you notice that right away, a bigger media? Obviously, you're going to notice the media presence, but is there more pressure with all that? Or do you just kind of like, it is what it is?
You know what? To be honest, like this whole COVID thing has like made everything like so like simple. Like they don't come into the rooms. Like we only saw them
that's
on.
True.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like we only saw them on like via like Zoom and stuff like that last year after game. So no one came in the rooms. And then this year we go outside and we ask, but the media presence isn't, you know, as big as it would be in normal years.
Right.
So I think it's a little easier not to be, you know, consumed by it. I think especially when we got like the start we've got off to, you know, they do write a lot about, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto. But for me, I don't really read anything. I try to stay away from it. You know, it's not something that, you know, I think from, you know, the mental standpoint, you want to be reading day after day after day after day. So, you know, for me, I stay away from stuff like that. And, you know, I guess you can feel the heat, but you don't like, I don't pay any mind.
It's good advice for any, for any up and comers, as far as not listening to the outside noise. Right. I mean, cause you can get yourself wrapped up into that stuff so easily. I mean, you're in Philly obviously too, which
is
bad for that.
Philly's a huge, like crazy sports town. They're always writing about the boys in Philly, right? So
yeah.
If you were to sit there and read every single comment or, you know, read every single newspaper when you're not doing well, you're going to put yourself in a hole.
Yeah.
So I definitely advise not to.
Yeah.
No, <Rose Island. laughs>
Yeah, exactly.
Spoken like a wise old veteran right there,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
you learn because it's if you want to preserve mental health, like you're saying, man, you got to keep the bucket clean.
Hey. Sim Daddy, how big of a chuckle did you get out of last year when Jake kind of like had his moment there with the media where he went to answer a question? He said, you know, I just got to say.
he always I was waiting for something like that. He's not shy. He's going to say what he wants to say. He's going to say what's on his mind. And I had to laugh. I couldn't believe actually he said that, to be honest.
I know.
It was definitely funny. I was dying laughing.
Oh, God. And Travis Connect, he's like drinking his water. He almost choked.
Yeah, I was choked.
Looking over. I felt bad. Oh, God. But I had a quick question about you obviously, before you got to TO, you finished up in Buffalo. Only 7 games, I think you played there, but you had been in Jersey. Things weren't going great, not just for the team. I mean, like there, and you get picked up at the deadline. I just have a question, like, not to say anything bad, but was it a shit show? Like when you were there for that little short time, like, you know, you're hearing about
in Buffalo.
Yeah. Not to say anything bad about anyone. Just, I mean,
No. I just think when we were 6 points out of the playoff spot when I got traded there, and I got traded there from New Jersey. And I remember, like, we weren't doing so well in New Jersey either. And, you know, I felt maybe, you know, a change of scenery, you know, could be good. I get into Buffalo. We were 6 points out of playoffs. And we lost 6-7. So immediately we were reeling. Like, so we went from 6 points back to, like, I don't even know, like 12 points back in the matter of, I think I was there for 10 days, something like that, 10 to 12 days. And then COVID hit. And I was like, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I hear you, man. It's silver lining.
Right.
I don't want to downplay what COVID has obviously done to the world. It just was like, I don't know. You could tell everyone's frustration level and everyone wasn't, you know, not everybody was on the same page. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
So it was difficult going in there, but there's a lot of good people within that organization. So I'm not going to say anything bad about them.
Right. I figured that's basically what we've had a couple guys that we, you know, just to ask, because it's just, you know, when an NHL team has a different coach and a different GM about 4 or 5 years in a row, it seems like it just, you know, you're like, what's going on, man?
It would have to be tough, right, for the guys who have actually even been there, like, over that whole period. Like, I know they have, like, Ikes, Ristolainen, like, Reinhardt, like, those guys were all there for that whole time, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it's got to be tough when you're seeing new faces every single year. You know, that's definitely not what you want. You don't build the comfortability level like that and, you know, get the team going. So, yeah.
And then when you're out of the playoffs by that much, it's just like it's nearly impossible to get the boys fully going for any game, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's
you
like,
can't get everyone on the same. You maybe have 5 guys here, 5 guys there, 10 guys sometimes. But, like, when you're, it's unfortunate it happens that way, but.
Yeah,
it's just the way it goes. When it rolls, when it goes bad, it goes bad.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone's playing for something different instead of what the actual goal is, right?
Exactly. Don't be playing for the next contract. You're playing for whatever it may be. A couple stats. They might have some bonuses or something they want to hit. And it's just sad to say though, but like it happens sometimes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's true. And then going back before you were in New Jersey, your experience in Nashville, it seemed like it was a pretty solid year for you individually and as a team. Would you say so?
So it was when I was in Nashville, I got traded from Philly. So that was my last year in Philly. I got traded. I remember I played the outdoor game at football
and we won.
That was my last game. That was my last game.
I remember.
Why I still remember. I had friends down. And we knew it could be my last possible game, and, you know, it really sucked. So that's the way it happened, and it ended. But, like, I got traded to Nashville. I think the next morning the trade deadline was. Got traded to Nashville, went in there, and I got hurt first game of playoffs. I got a puck off the knee from Roman Josi, one-timer.
I remember that.
And then shut me right down. So I didn't even play in that series, which was obviously heartbreaking. It sucks. You know, you want to make the playoffs. You want to have, you know, a chance to make, you know, a statement and, you know, show your worth. And, you know, I got, you know, a piece of my knee chipped off. So
yeah, that's tough.
You know, it was brutal.
I remember, obviously I remember I was there, just, we were rolling. We were rolling. We get into that game. We found a way to win that outdoor game. It was the first one we won. Like, in Philly, you know, finally we found a way, the rain, everything. You had a big play in that game that turned it around. I mean, a clean hit, and they ended up losing two guys because Ghost went into help. And so one Dumoulin goes out, and I think he grabbed Letang. Yeah. So they end up with 4D. Anyway, game of hockey. We end up winning the game, and you could just in the room, everyone's praying Simmer's not going anywhere, you know. And the next day, I remember Sim Daddy, when you came into one time, and I was like, nothing yet, right? And you're like, no, not yet. And I'm like, I remember going back into my office going, please. And I swear to God, like, three minutes later, it comes up. And I'm like, But
It was brutal. And then, you know, I thought I was going to be in Philly for a lot longer than I was. And unfortunately, you know, hockey's a business and stuff like that happens. So,
yeah.
It is the way it is.
Yeah, so in the back of your mind, it wasn't overly of a shock to you, but I mean, did you?
No,
it
wasn't a shock at all, but like when it actually did happen, I was just like, I can't believe this really happened.
Right.
You know, it was unfortunate. Last year in my deal, and, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, business starts to take over and, you know, it happens. It's still sad to this day for me, but. You know, you got to move on. You got to keep going, forging your own path, and, you know, continuing to play the game.
For sure. I know the fans of Phily still miss you. See a lot of Simmer jerseys floating around, and your name comes up every time you pop up on the highlights, beating the piss out of someone. And he's like, why the hell did we get rid of this guy?
Scoring big goals.
Yeah.
Doing it all, man. So Simmer, you know, we were just talking about your last game, but you were part of a really big trade in Philadelphia and LA, you know, and you're a young player, you come in, like, I mean, obviously I remember you coming in, but like, what were your feelings when that trade goes down? Cause that's a big trade, man.
Yeah. I think it was the same way when I got traded from Philly, when I got traded from LA, I was like, you kidding me? Like, it's just, I think it's always a shock when you get traded. I think especially for me, when I really did get traded from LA, cause I had absolutely no clue what was going on. And then I remember I was at my uncle's cottage in PEI, and I was there with my dad, my brother, and my uncle, and the four of us were just hanging out, whatever, for a week. And, you know, I got a phone call saying you've been traded to Philadelphia Flyers, and I'm like, what? Like, it was kind of a quick phone call. And it's so funny because Hexy traded me both times. Hexy doesn't like me too much. He can't stop me again. I get my phone call, and I'm like, what, really? And I'm like, I actually can't believe this and that. And I learned it was to the Flyers, and I was like, okay. I'm like, all right, let's go. And I obviously want Big E, you know, LeClaire, and you know, all those guys, and, you know, I loved the Legion of Doom, and Philly was just like my style.
Right.
Like, I lived for that. Right. So, you know, I was pretty excited. I remember Homer picked us up, picked me up from the airport when I landed like that next day, and. Oh, he actually scared the living shit out of me.
I bet.
He didn't say much, and he was just this big, scary-looking guy. And I was like, oh, my God. I ended up being the nicest man in the world. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God.
He has that
effect on people.
You first meet him, and you're just, like, frozen. You're like, I don't know what to say and or do. Like,
right.
Take me to the hotel, please.
Right. Well, Simmer, you come in first year, man. You bury 28, 114 minutes. I mean, it's just your game, man. You're a hard-nosed player. You play the game, to me, the right way. You're always there for your teammates. You're always a huge lift, really good in the locker room. And, I mean, right away, like I said, you became a fan favorite, man. It didn't take, you know, any time at all. And you're still, like Riley said, I mean, we go to the games and anytime there's clips, I mean, people are going nuts. Anytime we posted things, people love you, man. And what a great run here, man. A lot of good times, good guys. You got to play with Yogs that you know.
Yeah, that was first year in Philly. You got to play with Chris Pronger and Yarmir Yager. Are you kidding me? Two Hall of Famers. I'm just like, I'm like, this is cool. Okay. Like, this is unbelievable. And I think just coming in there, I kind of wanted to like reinvent myself as a player. You know, obviously leaving LA, I think I was more of a defensive guy. You know, played third line, did a lot of check and roll, PKing and stuff like that. And, you know, got to Philly and I got an opportunity to play on the power play for the first time. And, you know, I kind of just lit a spark in my belly and fire in my belly and just, you know, wanted me to do that much better, you know, all the time. And, you know, I came in there saying, you know, I was going to be tough, you know, play the game the way it's supposed to be played, stick up for my teammates. If I have to fight, I'm going to fight. You know, but at the same time, I want to be a good hockey player and score some goals and contribute to this team that way as well. So, you know, that's all I tried to do my whole career in Philadelphia, you know, just try to be there for the boys, stick up, you know, get the team to be one cohesive unit and, you know, just play for one another and then, you know, just go out there and play the game mean.
Yeah. Well, you embodied it fully on and off the ice, no question. You said like, Philly's your style. I mean, there's no question. You look good in orange and black, and you took your game to another level, honestly. Yeah, like you said, you got an opportunity on the power play. You're one of the best around the net there with your stick, and you're getting in the way and traffic and, you know, going to all the hard areas that we always, you know, coaches always talk about. But you don't get those opportunities. It's hard to capitalize on those situations,
yeah,
right?
So exactly. It's just, you know, kind of wait. You learn as a younger. Well, the way it used to be, obviously, Rawls, you know this, like you had to work for what you got. Like nothing was ever handed to you. It didn't even matter if you thought you were better than the guy that was ahead of you. He was older than you. He got the role. You worked for it.
Right.
So, you know, we had a lot of older guys in LA, like Ryan Smith, Michael Hanzus, who also played in Philadelphia. And, you know, I just waited my turn. I waited behind those guys. I picked their brains, you know, kind of started moving like the way they were moving. And, you know, it helped me a lot. I learned a lot. You know, from just watching the older guys play and just learning their routines and like what they would do at practice and how meticulous they were. And then, you know, I wanted to make sure that I would be ready for when I did get my opportunity. I knew it was going to come. I didn't know obviously if it was going to be in LA or anywhere else, but you know, when I got to Philly, Lobby, you know, really entrusted me, you know, with being an offensive player. And, you know, I took that to heart and, you know, I was going to do everything I could in my power to run with that.
Yeah, you did a hell of a job.
Definitely did.
Couple 30 goal seasons, I think. How many? Two or three, maybe four. Almost 30 goal seasons. So you definitely took advantage of those opportunities. And
I also play with a lot of great players. So
yeah,
you know, I think the majority of my goals actually came from G, Jake, Crosby. Yeah, right.
Hey, Timber, you still got to put them in, man. No matter what, man,
know,
you got to put them in.
I know you got to put them in the net, but like when you're getting them like that, because I don't get them anymore. So like you go to appreciate them. The older you get, and you're not in those positions anymore. I don't know how many times I stood on that back door and I just went.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So you know you got to appreciate the players that you play with too at the same time.
Of course.
Simmer, I got a funny story. I may have even told this on one of our shows. I don't know if I did or not, but I know I've told Riley this. But we were. A few years ago, we were playing in Pitt. It might have been the last year and your last year in Philly. But I went down to see my buddy Tags, one of the equipment guys, and Sid happened to be sitting in the room. And Phil Kessel had sent down for me. He wanted to talk to me. So that's why I really went down. So, of course, Sid's all on his gear, like getting ready to work out and everything. You know, it's like the game's at 7. I think it's about 5:45, like okay. Phil's in his suit, right?
Phil just got there, right?
Oh, yeah, like just all disheveled, right? And we had lost to them in the playoffs. Long story short, Phil's G had hit who did he hit? Haglin, he hit somebody like hard in the playoffs. And after that game, they ended up winning. And he said, Phil said, you better tell G, I was gonna fucking kill him, you know, like. And I said, oh, settle down, you know, Phil, you know, like he had some buddies there and they were all laughing. We were just kind of kidding around. So I went down there real quick and Sid's sitting there and he was signing some stuff. And Phil's over on the other side of the room. And I winked at Sid and I said, hey, Phil, just so you know, G said, look, he wanted to get it out of the way right off the hop, right off the puck drop. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And I said, I said, well, you told me to tell him you're going to beat his ass. Like, he said, all right, let's go. And he goes, fuck that. I'm not fighting. I'm done. I got five. He goes, I got five fights. I'm done.
And that so funny, man.
So the funny part was Sid says to me, he goes, you know what's scary? He goes, is he has like five. I've got a few. And Sid was like, I kind of wrestle. I don't really fight, but I've had, you know, majors. And he goes, and Gino's got more than both of us. He goes, but I'll bet you we lead the team and fights because they just did. Yeah. I mean, all together.
Oh, my God.
Well, because they didn't have, because they had got rid of Revo. Remember?
That's
they
right.
had him a few years before.
Oh, that was after. That was after they had, like, obviously, like Tanner Glass and all those guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This was, yeah. And so Ash. And so I said, well, it's funny because I said, he brought you up. He goes, Matt, he goes, if we had a guy like Simmer, he could score. He's tough. And I said, dude, I said, Simmer goes into piles and guys start looking around for quarters on the ice. They don't want to look at him. And he goes, I don't blame him. He's a beast. That's what Sid said. He's like,
oh,
he's
God.
A
that's
then,
a good compliment.
Right. And then the funny thing was, as he's saying that, Phil's going, now, seriously, tell G to fuck off. I'm not fighting. We're totally talking about you at this time. But anyway. But yeah. Sarah, and actually, that game, we got down, I think, 3-0. And you fought Alexiak. I think that's how you say the name. The big D-man.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the only guy they had. And you ended up winning the fight. And he's a monster. And it turned the game around and we won. And you got the helmet that game or the whatever it was we were giving away. And you were like, I didn't really do anything, but let's go. We're like,
no,
yeah, you turned
the
game around.
No, but I played like crap that game. I remember it. And I was like, if there's anything I can do for the boys, I'm like, I can do this. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I grabbed him and I actually ended up breaking my nose on the first punch in the fight. I remember.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
I was so mad. I got like my nose broken. And I remember them giving me a hat. I was like, I didn't even do nothing. Like, I got my nose broken.
Well, yeah, I don't know many guys get their nose broken and then pound a guy. Like,
oh man,
yeah, right?
It's crazy. But yeah, you did you've always been like that, Sindaddy. You do everything for the team and you're a team guy, man. It's awesome.
Hey, Simmer, I was going to ask you about going back to juniors. I ran into just a little info on you being passed over in the OHL draft 2 years. And then eventually you were selected in some sort of priority selection draft.
So it was like, so when I was like, I played double A my whole life. So by like for the OHL draft, I was still playing double A at that point. I think they dropped at 16.
Yeah.
Or at the end of your 15-year-old year. And I was playing double A. I didn't play triple A until I was 16. So
wow.
I went to junior A, played for the Brockville Braves. And I got drafted after that year. So it was 2 years after my original draft year. So I got drafted to Owen Sound, I think in the sixth round that year, by Mike Feuda and the Owen Sound Pack. And I was just like, I'm not coming. I'm like, I don't know why you guys drafted me. I was going to school. I was going to Bowling Green. I had a scholarship to Bowling Green.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to school. Like, I promised my mom I'm going to school. I'm like, don't even bother picking me. And he picks me and he shows up at my house like 3 days in a row.
And no I'm way. Like,
yeah. Like, he just kept coming back because he actually lived pretty close to where my parents lived. So Butte just kept coming back. And I was like, all right, man, you got me. Like, you don't have to come back no more. Like, my dad's sick of seeing you. I'm like, what's my school package? I'm like, give me a school package, like, close to what I would have gotten if I had got a scholarship. But he didn't. Anyway, so I still ended up going to Owen Sound, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
So. Yeah, I guess so, man. Give him an apple on that. Yeah. For showing up at car salesman.
Best part about that, too, is Futes was, he drafted me to L.A. as well. He became the
No way.
Yeah, he became the head of amateur scouting with LA the year after he brought me into Owen Sound. So he left and I stayed there, and he became the head of amateur scouting and then
wow. That is
to,
awesome.
The Kings. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, I owe that man a lot.
Yeah, and then you played 2 years in the O, and then you're playing full time in the NHL. You never dressed one American Hockey League game I mean, that's you know, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know what? I like for me, and I think the you know the position my family was in, I didn't really like. I had no time. I was just I needed to play in the NHL, and you know I put a lot of work into it. And LA's team was really young. You know, they had some, you know, some holes. They needed more toughness. And, you know, I went to that training camp. I remember I almost made it my first year, actually. I think I was one of the last cuts my 19-year-old year. So after my first year in the OHL. So it was kind of a whirlwind for me. You know, but by the time I get there when I'm 20, I just come off of playing Team Canada. Winning a gold medal with the World Juniors. And then we lost in the Western Conference Finals in the OHL. I got traded to Sault Ste. Marie. We lost to Kitch. But, you know, I was fully prepared for, you know, training camp when we came up that next year. And I just went in there and I did anything I could. Block shots, grab guys, fight, you know, whatever I had to do. I was a little rat. Like, I didn't care. I literally did anything I could possibly do to make that team. And I would always say to myself, and I knew it wasn't, you know, I didn't think it was really attainable to not play in the AHL, but I always said to myself, I had it in my mind that there's no way I was ever going to play in the AHL. And that wasn't me looking down on the AHL or anything, or any players that go through that, because obviously a ton of stars, everybody plays in the AHL before they develop to come up. I just think my game was at a point where, you know, I could do those physical things. And, you know, not a lot of younger guys could do that. So I think that gave me a jump and allowed me to actually develop my game in the NHL at an NHL level while doing, like, all the dirty work at the same time. So I think that's kind of how I rounded out my game.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. And it always goes back to mindset, right? You believe so much in yourself and your ability to have that thinking, right? I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, there's a difference between, you know, say, arrogance and confidence, right? I mean, around your, you know, your belief system, but like to believe in yourself that much. And that's really what it always comes down to, is believing in yourself. But that's, again, it's really amazing, because not too many guys play full-time in the NHL without going through the American Hockey League, at least, you know, like a handful of games or something even, you know. But that's,
yeah, no, trust me, I realized that. Like, my best friend's Chris Stewart, and he was the first round pick, 18th overall to Colorado. And he played in the AHL, and he goes to me. I remember telling him, I'm like, I'm never going to play in the AHL. He's like, you kidding me? He's like, I'm a first rounder, and I'm in the AHL. He's like, you think you have a chance? And I'm like, and it wasn't even like, it was just like, we were just out one night, and we were talking to each other. We were talking garbage to each other. And I'm like, all right, well, watch, let's bet. And we made a bet. I'm like, I won that bet.
Right? No, that's powerful stuff, man. And then, you know, I've heard rumblings. I want to see if there's any truth to this. But maybe it was that off season leading up to the year that you actually made the team. But you were living out of your car, maybe before you were in a hotel and stuff like that, just slugging it out and doing what you had to do.
So I was living at, so when I got drafted to LA, I was living in Anaheim. I was working out at TR Goodman's in Venice Beach. So me and Chris Stewart were living in Anthony Stewart's wife's apartment, well, his girlfriend then at that time. Her apartment, because she went to Cal State. So they let us, me and Chris, move down there to live in the condo or the apartment that they had, and it was in Anaheim. So we drove every day from Anaheim to Venice. And this was the summer before I got drafted. I eventually got drafted, obviously, that summer. But like the drive from Venice to Anaheim is ridiculously long, especially in California traffic. Right?
Like, oh my god,
it'd be a two-hour drive. Like, if we had to work out at 7, we'd have to get up and leave at 5. So like, in between, I always wouldn't go all the way back. So I would just show up really early, like do my workout, and then show up at the Kings facility, and I just sleep in the car. Like, I didn't actually live in my car. But, like, you know, I spent a lot of time sleeping in that parking lot in that car just so, like, I could make sure that I was there on time and ready to do what I had to do, because, like, the miles that I was traveling were ridiculous at that point. So, and it actually ended up being a blessing in disguise, like, us moving out there for the summer to, you know, to work out with T.R. Goodman, because I ended up getting drafted by the Kings, and everything was, like, right there. So I learned California, or, like, Southern California anyway, pretty quickly.
Wow.
Sacrifice. Chief actually worked out with him one summer. He went out there and he was telling me, he goes, this guy's crazy. He's like,
he is crazy though.
He says he's fucking crazy. He goes, we're over there, like we're working out, and he's already getting in our face. Wait, fuck, you're not working. He's like, I gotta go golf. Chief's telling him, he's like, go. Golf. He's like, TRC, you're not fucking going. You're in here, you know. And he goes, man, I can't take this shit.
Oh, you know, honestly, God, like, coming from Chief, okay, so I like, he was crazy, man. Like literally anything you did, it wasn't good enough. Like he was right. always in your face, just trying to break you down. And like, yeah. I remember I was doing like leg press one time. And first of all, he didn't even let me do anything but like shoulders and hips with like 2.5 pound weight for the first month. Cause he said I was too weak. So I had literally 2.5 pounds on my wrist going like this, 2.5 pounds, like ankle wraps, like doing whatever.
The humbling experience.
And like one day he'd let me do 5 pounds. And then he'd look at me and be like, no, you're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. You got to use the 2.5. Like, he'd play mind games with you. And, yeah. like, it would, like, drive you crazy. But you know what? I can honestly say that was probably a big, like, step in, like, my mental progress. Like, working out with T.R. Goodman, the way he tried to break you down. Like, he wanted you to quit.
Yeah.
They would make you work out so hard that by the end of it, you'd want to quit. So I can understand where Chief's saying, Chief was already established in the NHL.
Yeah, he didn't want to do that.
I'm going golfing, man.
Yeah. And he said he'd be like in his face, and Chief would just like laugh. You know, he's like, this guy's nuts. And he's like, why are you laughing? You know, like Chief's like, because you're nuts, man.
The amount of people I saw go through that gym like was crazy. Like he had Ray Liotta in there, like Willie McGinnis. Like he had everybody, man. Like I swear to God, like, who else did I see there? It was like, I might have even seen Hulk Hogan in there one time. Like that, that Gold's Gym in Venice was bumping. Like they had everybody and anybody in there. It was crazy.
He didn't have the Hulkster with 2.5 pounds. I bet.
No, Hulkster's in the corner with like lifting the rack.
Yeah,
like, with all on it.
That's hilarious. I was going to ask you anyway, since you brought that up, you know, I didn't realize, you know, how intense this guy was and, you know, the gauntlet he put you through. But your evolution of thinking towards training over the years, you know, obviously when you're younger, you're in this absolute killer mode, right? I mean, you're doing everything in your power and you're training as hard as you possibly can. And then as you get older, you get a little wiser, a little more efficient with your body. I mean, where are you at now as far as your training and you know, your philosophy on recovery, you know, 15 years into the NHL?
You know what? I work out with Matt Nichol. I don't know if you guys know who Matt Nichol is.
I do, yeah.
But he's a guru. I don't ask questions. I don't even touch the weight. He just, like, everything is just, like, tailored. He knows my body so well. I've been working out with him for the last 9 years.
Okay.
And it is like you said. Like, when you first start, like you do everything. Like I'd be running, I'd be, you know, lifting for 2 hours, I'd be skating for an hour a day. Like you just don't give your body any time to rest, and you just keep going and going and going. And then I think I got to, like, I was 26 27, and then like, I, all right, my knee hurts. Like I had surgery my second year in LA. I had to get 60% of my meniscus taken out in my left knee, and like that right there, like, stop me from being able to like constantly run. Because I used to have a track coach named Carl Folks, you know, out of Scarborough, who actually ran in the 88 Olympics on the Canadian team. And for 2 summers, like we did like strictly running, and like it made me so fast, so strong, so powerful. But like after a couple summers, I couldn't do that anymore because my knee would start to like bother me.
Right.
So then I moved from that to this other place called Twist Conditioning in Whitby for like a year. And that was just like way too much, like overload for my body. And then I finally got to Maddie like 9 years ago. And it's been unbelievable. Like the science behind it and like work to rest ratio and like everything like that. It's the way he does it is unbelievable. And it's just like, it's put me into a position to now where like I'm 33. I've had a lot of surgeries, you know. I've had, you know, double hernia, groin, you know, knee, couple other things. And it's like, I didn't feel the greatest for probably a couple of years. And then now because of what Maddie's doing with my body, and like, I feel as good now as I did when I was like 25, like body wise.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Like that's after amazing. The last 3 years of probably not feeling the greatest, like this year, I feel unbelievable. So wow. You definitely got to watch what you're doing with your body. And it's like, you know, I don't run as much anymore. I still run, but like shorter distances, well, as opposed to doing like 400 and 300 meters would be like, you know, 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s,
right.
Whatever, right? Like, I don't even really get up to 100 meters, but like, you know, just to get that turnover. So yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a lot to change, you know, what you want to do. You know, obviously as a player, you just want to go and not yeah. stop. But you got to give your body the time to rest, especially as you get older. You can't do it anymore.
No, that's the truth. You know, it's interesting. Like, you know, like you came in, was your first year 08?
08, 09.
And it was still like, you know, it's still that old school. Still a bit of an old school mentality where there wasn't a whole lot of emphasis on recovery, right? There's obviously no mandatory days off. It was still really yeah. that heavy on the work. And oh, yeah. It's amazing how the philosophy.
Day, never had a day off. You got like 1 month.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
If you think how many guys over month. Time had damages, right? I mean, it actually puts them in more of an opportunity to get hurt, right? I mean, yeah, expose them 100%. To injury.
I agree with that. That's like when you're tired, you're not working smart. And then that's when you open yourself up, right?
Right.
Like you'll be not thinking, your brain's not working, and then all of a sudden, boom! That's when yep. that's when it happens.
That's right.
When all serious injuries happen.
Yep. And the guys that understand this and really adopt this type of thinking are the guys like yourself. We talked to JVRs is similar with their, you know, their thinking, really focusing on the preventative and the recovery, right? And just
maintenance. Well, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, you get your chiropractor work, you get your ART, you get all that stuff done. Your massages, like. And like now in the summertime, like I do Pilates.
Yeah.
Like that's something I would have never done before in the past. I'm like, Pilates. Yeah. Right. And then now, like, if I'm not limber, I'll probably tear like a hamstring or something. I'm like, I gotta stress, man. Like,
did you get Jake? Stress. You need to get Jakey on that Pilates. He can't touch Jakey his toes. Nothing.
Jakey probably can't even touch his toes right now. Like,
You know he can't.
Oh, man. No, it's about, I don't know. I want to play for as long as I possibly can. Like, God willing, this year I hit 1,000 games, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say. You're like, close.
If I can, you know, go another 3-4 years, you know, I'll be ecstatic.
Yeah.
So
I think you will, buddy.
You know, I just want to play this game. I love this game so much. It's given me so much. And it's just like, you know, this is what I know. I don't really know much else besides hockey. Like, I'm sure I could figure something else out, but I don't want to. I'm not ready for that yet, right?
I hear you, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Sim Daddy. In 2017, we jumped on a bird after a game and went to L.A.
Yes, we did.
Somebody, one of the three here, ended up with an MVP title from an All-Star game, and it wasn't Riggs, and it certainly wasn't
it
me.
Definitely was not
although,
me.
I may have – got a couple MVPs off the ice during those 2 days. No, but kidding, man. We can't not talk about that weekend, man. I had tears in my eyes watching you get the award. I mean, it was one of the I was so happy I was able to. That just happened to be my turn to do the All-Star game and getting to see you win it. And you played so well. It was just awesome, man. And
that
our
was,
boys.
That was special.
And you know who we saw last night, Sim Daddy? Before you say, we saw Snoop Dogg last night, and he was there. Yes, we did. Me and Ross did. Yeah.
But, was he performing or what?
He was DJing last night.
Snoopadelic.
Okay. He rapped a little bit, but he was more DJ. He was feeling
nice.
It.
You guys had a good party then.
Yeah. But anyway, back to your weekend, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it was great. I think it was like. Even more special, you know, my wife was there.
Yeah.
Like, we had our full training staff there. Like, you were there. Harry was there. Hugs come, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it was special in that way. And my brother got to come. My cousin came. So, I had some family there. And I think being back in L.A. made it even sweeter.
Like, yeah.
I think I probably tried harder than everybody else, to be honest with you. I don't think that's a cool thing to do in an All-Star game.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know what? This is the NHL All-Star game. I'm playing with Sidney Crosby.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm like, hey, I got to get a couple goals here. Go hard to the back. Go hard to the back post. Put the puck in the net. That's all I have to do. Go ahead, Nas.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny. Like that first, it's funny watching, being there and watching it. The first game is kind of like ho-hum. And then it's like, what's kind of close, and the guys kind of start playing a little harder, and then you get to the chance where you can win the money, win the game, or win the thing, and the guys stepped up a little bit more then, so you got to give yourself a little more credit.
Well, I don't think I'll take it. MVP of any game, you know, never mind the All-Star game with all those players I just mentioned. You know, I'll definitely take it. It's a huge honor for me. You know, something that, you know, I never would have imagined would ever happen to me in my life. So I'm definitely grateful for that. You know, but I think, you know, our team was on, like, literally, I think we had Crosby. Who else did we have? Ovechkin, Taylor Hall,
Seth Jones, myself.
Who else was on that team?
Cam Atkinson, Seth.
Cam Atkinson.
Holtby.
I think Okposo. Yeah, we had Holtby. So, like, our team was unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
like we had a good team. We had a filthy team. I think for sure we had the best team.
Yeah.
So like we deserved to win it. We won it, and you know it was just nice, you know, being winners at the All-Star game. So it was just a cool experience.
I've got a video, Riles. We're unfortunately we left right after the game. We flew to Carolina. We dropped some people off, Billy and Simmer and the staff. We went on into Carolina and had a full day off, just like he is there now. But as we're waiting in the limo to go to the airport, you should have heard MVP. All these people are outside the hotel, MVP. And my dumb ass is in the car going, MVP. I'm fucking yelling it too. You know, I'm just like the fans. But it was great. An awesome weekend. I mean, it was my first and only All-Star game I got to do, and it was so nice to get to do it.
Yeah, we did it together, right? Yeah, it's my first and my only, too. So
it was awesome.
That's a pretty cool experience.
Good time with good people, man. That was the best part about it.
Yeah, you know what? One funny thing, Simmer, it was nice. You took us to dinner there, and Dewey, your boy, Drew Doughty, was there, and David Boreanaz.
Yep, I remember. That was the first night we got in, right?
Yeah, so the Riles, I don't know if I told you this. So Justin Bieber's like two tables over, right? And he came over and he's talking to Dave. He may have talked to these guys too, but the funny part was I could hear Dave and Beeb. I say it like I know him, Beebs. I don't know the guy. Justin Bieber is talking to Dave, and he says, "Yeah, man." He goes, "Hey, so that game tomorrow, because they had what do you call it? All-Star game,
the celebrity game.
Yeah, the celebrity game." And Dave's like, yeah, man, you better be ready. He's kind of like me fucking around with guys. And Beef is like, oh, yeah, man, it's like for fun, right? He goes, dude, Pronger's playing. Like, it's legit. And Beef is like, Justin Bieber's like, well, yeah, but it's like, it's like for fun. You know, he goes, oh, the guys are intense. It's real game. It's a real game. And like, there was a look on his face like,
you got a little scared,
dude, what the fuck, man? Like, I thought this was, like, you know, I'm like, dude, you're a dick. He's like, I'm just fucking with it, man. Like,
yeah,
well, then Prongs rub him out. You're fucking with Justin Bieber, man.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty funny.
He did rub him out, right? Yeah. He had a little face wash.
And he's smiling as he does it. There's a picture, the famous picture of him smiling as he.
Exactly. Pinned up against the glass. Oh man.
I got a picture with him too. I had my daughter's like, you got to get a picture with him. I'm like, hey, but I asked him and he was like, yeah. Oh, actually, Miles from the Kings asked him. He's like, yeah, no problem. So I'm like, I have my phone. He actually goes, here, man. Takes my phone out of my hand and gets all right, let's go. And like, he's like smiling. He's like smiling. So I like smile. Like, and he goes, he gives a straight face. So I'm like, I'm smiling. And he's cheesing. Not. I'm like, you asshole, man. Like, don't fake me out.
Yeah, he got you good.
It was good though. My kids didn't care. They thought it was cool. I was the coolest dad.
Yeah, well, as long as you got a picture with the Biebs, you're all right. You're all right, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
They thought I was cool.
Hey, Simmer, I wanted to mention, you know, like you're bring up your leadership and your, you know, over time throughout the years of just like building on your leadership skills. And in 2019, you get the Mark Messier Leadership Award. And that's obviously a huge honor, right? I mean, it's a big deal. But then your work in the world of, you know, combating racism and stuff with that Hockey Diversity Alliance. You want to talk about that? Because I know you've dealt with racism throughout your life and hockey career, and what you're doing in a positive way to make change.
Yeah, 100%. I think hockey's a great sport. Like, don't get me wrong, I love hockey. It's given me everything that, you know, I have to this day. I think for me, It's about, you know, making this game more accessible, you know, the people of color, you know, to other people who'd like to, you know, try and join in and want to have a part of it. And, you know, for me, racism is, you know, obviously, you know, it's been a big issue. I've had a lot of different things happen to me, and, you know, it's come to a point to where, you know, it's, you know, you can't stand for it anymore, and there needs to be a race from the game. And, you know, there needs to be a lot that has to be done. So for me, you know, I just want to be, you know, somebody who, you know, is looked up to, you know, by kids who look like me, so that they can know that, you know, they have a space in this game too. You know, so it's, you know, I feel like it's, you know, it's my duty, you know, to be a good role model, you know, to do whatever I can, you know, to make, you know, hockey a safe space, you know, for everybody. So, you know, that's all I'm trying to do here. You know, this game is unbelievable. You guys know it's given us all so much. And, you know, I think this game, you know, has a lot of room to improve and to get better, so that, you know, we're no longer even looked upon as like the fourth sport. And I think diversity has a huge part in that. You know, I think if you look around and, you know, you look at the NBA, the NFL, you know, they have more of a multicultural fan base, and that leads to, you know, more success for the sport itself. So I think if, you know, hockey were to get to that level where we have, you know, races and ethnicities, you know, of all kind, you know, it's only going to make the sport better. It's only going to broaden, you know, the attention that we get. So, you know, why not try and clean up that part of the game, you know, to where, you know, we welcome everybody, you know, regardless, you know, of whatever you do in your own time, in your own life, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You know, whatever color you are, you know, everything, you know, hockey, they say hockey is for everyone, you know, but I've generally felt hockey isn't for everyone, you know, so I'm just trying to help, you know, make it that safe space.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing work, and it's much needed. I think, well, now more than ever, obviously, I think the problems been exasperated for whatever reason, whether it's just like a societal thing, and then it's maybe magnified through sport, specifically hockey. But hockey could certainly do a better job, obviously. And I think you guys, there's a 9 or 10 of you guys, kind of joined forces and doing some good work, right? I mean, it's necessary. So I just want to give you props.
So we're
props
starting
for that.
Some pilot programs like within Toronto, you know, to where we can get, you know, BIPOC kids, you know, into the game. You know, just kind of make it more accessible, like I said, you know, get nice time, you know, putting these kids, you know, if they don't know how to play hockey, you know, like running them through clinics, you know, ball hockey tournaments, you know, which progress, you know, to on ice stuff. So, you know, it's been, you know, a long time, you know, I think getting to this point, you know, for us, but, you know, we got really good partners, and, you know, we're only going to do, you know, this game, you know, a service. You know, we're not going to do it a disservice. We're going to service the game, and we're going to make sure that, you know, everything that we do is done right.
Beautiful. If there's anything we can do to help you out with that, I know we have some connections to the Snyder Youth Hockey Foundation, stuff like that, which they seem to do something similar in the community.
Yeah, they do. I was on the board, you know, an honorary member on the board of the Snyder Foundation, and, you know, that was, you know, an honor for me as well. You know, they do such a good job. You know, with exactly what they're doing, they're phenomenal. And I think that's like, you know, that's what, you know, needs to be in place in like every major city, would be my hope. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, something like that can completely change the complexion of the game. And, you know, not only does, you know, do they help with like the hockey and stuff like that, but, you know, they make sure that, you know, the Snyder program specifically makes sure that the kids are doing well in school. And I really like that. I think that's huge.
It's huge.
Not everyone's going to make the NHL. You know, but everybody's going to, you know, grow up and, you know, move out and have to, you know, figure out this world and navigate on their own. So, you know, they do a great job of giving the kids structure.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the educational component, the life skills, right? Like you said, the odds are working against most of these kids to actually playing in the NHL. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, you're building them, helping them build a foundation and to be successful, whatever that is. So.
Exactly.
But good work in that world, man. It's
man, that's awesome, Severin.
It's much needed.
Appreciate it, guys.
I did want to just bring up. We stay pretty clean here, Severin, like PG-13. But I know we can't really tell each other, but man, we had some fun, eh? In your 7 years here.
We had a good time, man.
Raph Daddy and Jake and just all the characters.
Everyone's gone, eh? Like,
yeah,
everybody's gone. I was looking at the roster, and the only guys left here is the Coots, obviously, G.
Yeah.
Like, and then obviously some of the younger guys, like TK's in there, but I don't even know too many guys on the roster. Obviously, Sani, Proby.
Yeah,
they've had like a full facelift.
They did a number this summer. They got a lot of new players, and they're playing well. They dropped one last night, but they've played well so far. Florida's got a good team, man.
Yeah, Florida does.
They're the only undefeated team left, aren't they?
I think Edmonton.
Oh, Edmonton too.
Yeah, Edmonton's flying.
I think there's one other team too.
Maybe Minnesota or something. I can't remember, but
really. Anyway.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, Simon. But anyway, I think back. I have stuff on Snapchat of all of us. I remember one time we had it might have been a year end party, and me and Simmer end up with the same shirt on. We had the same. Remember that? I've got a picture of it.
Twins.
I'm like Danny and Arnold, you know, from Twins. I moved Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
We had the same shirt. I'm like Twins. He's like, nice shirt, Nass. I'm like, it's only what I have because we went down to AC. I couldn't even change, man. I'm like,
all right. But, I don't mind looking like you.
Oh, man.
You're a handsome cat. So, you got good style.
Yeah, right.
Well, I better if we had the same one on. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I know. We both could be wearing ugly shirts.
Simmer, I also wanted to bring up some of the dad trips. Your dad was always my favorite. This guy is the man.
Oh, he's loving
Riggs,
it, man.
Oh man, dude, we had so much fun, man. We in Nashville. I'm thinking about Nashville too, but we were in Nashville, and he loves them. You the blues, and this guy was playing it. He was like, he's like, you're playing this song. And the guy's like, all right, I got a video of your dad. Yeah, he's feeling it, man.
Honestly, God, he lived for those trips for 8 years straight. He's like, one's father's trip. He's like, I gotta come see the boys, one's father's trip. So
I remember you had to get on him. It was like you were the dad in Florida there. We had a night, Riggs. And I had my arm twisted.
Oh yeah. Oh, overserved.
Yeah, right. We got it.
You guys get back at like 3 a.m. and drop my dad off at the room, and I'm trying to sleep, and we play the next day. He comes in the room, and like, is it at dinner time? You remember he got like a doggy bag from the restaurant we were at. You guys drop him off. He comes in the room, like lights on, takes it. I'm like, what did you guys next morning? I'm like, what did you guys do to this guy? Like, he was heating up food at 4 a.m. I'm like trying to sleep. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. Never again.
So we're in Florida, and they get these huge hallways, and the dads come in, and I think you guys had just come out of a meeting, and some guys are working on sticks and just kind of messing around talking to their dads, and your dad was tired, so he saw this. He saw a medical table over on the side, and next thing you know, he's just laying there, he's minding his own business, veteran doing nothing. Maneuver. And so the boys are like, they're fucking around with Simmer. So they got their phones and they start like recording and like just acting like they're recording, taking a picture of his dad laying down. Like, leave the guy alone. He needs a little rest. And Simmer's like, get up. He's like, he was the dad. He's like, get up, man. You're embarrassing me. He's like, I'm just resting, man.
You know what? It's so funny, but I think for like, you know those trips are special, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, my dad got excited for them. Like, whatever. Like, everyone comes down. All the
he wasn't the only one.
No. I know. I was about to say we had a good group of dads. Like, they got along well. Like, they had a great time, and you could ask nothing more from a trip like that for your dad, right? He comes in, sees what you do. But at the same time, when you go to bed, he gets to go out and enjoy himself with the boys too, right? So
I can't be mad now.
Like,
yeah, I know, right?
Looking back at it, I'm like, this guy's a beauty. Like,
oh man, it was awesome. And it's funny when you have those trips and you don't know the dads. Like, obviously, I got to know your dad over the years, but it was funny to see how much the kids were like their dads and how opposite some were. Like, I remember Daryl Powell's dad, he stayed out with me till the sun came up. Pals, you would have been in bed. Like, he's like, you, Riggs. He's in bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Palsy's dad was he was a trooper too, man. But those trips were awesome, and your dad is just always so much fun, man. Talk about a dresser rigs.
Yeah, oh, just the nines, eh?
Hey,
yeah.
Baby.
Every time that when I was younger, he only wore, like, I never saw this man wear a pair of jeans until I was like 13 years old.
Really?
It was either he was in his work clothes. I guess he wore jeans to work. But he was either, as soon as he got, because he did construction, right? So as soon as he finished work, is always a pair of dress pants. Like, wow. Right out of jeans to like dress pants. And it was like dress pants and a tee on or something like that. But he never really wore jeans unless he was working. So like he always had like crazy suits, top hats, like three piece button ups, like it was like, he had the gator shoes, like he was always stylish. I remember him and my mom had matching fur coats too, like
casual that's Saturday awesome, night.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he can dress.
That's beautiful.
Man. He can dress. He's awesome.
I love it. You gotta enjoy life, man. Why the hell not?
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's what we're here for, right? Well, life's short. Like,
yeah, that's
the truth. You start to realize you get older. Life is short. You don't get the good times all the time. Like,
that's yep. Right.
You never know when, you know, you gotta shut it down, and you never know. Like,
yep.
You never know what's gonna happen. So you gotta enjoy what you have and be thankful for it.
That's right. It. That's the truth.
Sim Daddy. We appreciate you, man, on your day off, man.
No problem, guys. I'm literally not, I'm sitting here watching football, just chilling, hanging out. Like, it's nice weather out here. I got the door open. Like, awesome. So I'm just hanging out, man. This is great. I'm honored that you guys wanted me to have you to have me on the podcast. And,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sorry it took so long. I'm sorry it took so long.
Hey, man,
no worries,
gotta,
man. We appreciate it. We know
life,
how it is.
I'm happy to be here. I'm definitely happy to be on with you guys.
This has been great.
Give Crystal a big hug and kiss for me, man. I miss her. She's the best.
I will. You know, we missed you, Nas. You know we miss you.
Yeah, man. I miss you too, bro. Hopefully we can see you when you come to town. Love to see you.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, I don't even know when we come in, but that'd be nice.
Yeah, man. Again, but thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy your time. Get Mraza a win there, his old team.
I know. We got their goalie, and they took our goalie. We flip flop with them because Freddie's there, Anderson's there, right?
I saw that. That's unbelievable. Well, cool, man. Well, good luck, brother. Keep it going. Get that. The train was rolling the other night. You saw my thing. What happened there? I meant to ask you that.
When?
Well, Pitt. Yeah, Pitt.
Oh. Yeah, we were losing 7-1. What do you mean?
That's what I thought.
We were losing 7-1. You think I'm going to just I have to do something?
Yeah.
No, I'm messing with you, man.
And I didn't even know. Like, I literally sat there and I was like, 7-1. It's going to look bad if I fight, but it's going to look bad if I don't.
No, right. No. It's refreshing to hear it still exists in the game, man. Keeping it alive.
I'd rather look bad fighting than looking bad not fighting.
100%, right? The right attitude.
I'm like, hey, we're gonna go out swinging. We're going that's out right. swimming.
Yeah, it was nice to see.
So, that's what that was about.
Beautiful. Well, keep it going, brother. Really appreciate
it. I appreciate it, guys.
Keep doing you. Appreciate it.
Will do.
All right, Sim Daddy.
Later.
Hey, say hey to Steph too. Steph also, my girl.
Yeah, I will.
And the boys, all the Roper.
100%. I'll say hi to all of them. Roper. Yeah.
He's a beauty, isn't he?
He's the best. Ropes is great. Ropes is great. I love Ropes.
All your equipment guys are awesome.
Yeah, Bobo, Dagger. Yeah. They're all good. Blatchy. They're great, man.
Blatchy, too, man. All right, bro.
Okay. Right, dude. Take care.
Thanks so much, Summer.
Later.
Take care.
Nasty, I've been watching your game on the ice. And I know you're ready to take the game outdoors. For over 50 years, Mylick has been taking the game of hockey to the streets, driveways, and cul-de-sacs across the globe.
Riggs, I can understand you wanting me to go play outside instead of on the ice, but I do love playing outside. And Mylick is featuring their MK5 shin pads that are the number one selling off-ice shin pad in the world, bro.
In the world.
Also, a lineup of hockey goals ranging from the lightweight PVC goals all the way up to a regulation pro steel goal, brother.
And that old orange ball that started it all has evolved into multiple balls scientifically designed to perform consistently in a variety of weather temperatures, Nast.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mylek also has a wide selection of hockey sticks for any type of playing surface, bro.
Maybe Toby. Mylek has all of your hockey needs covered.
Visit Mylek.com and use promo code NastyKnuckles to get 10% off your next order.
Mylek, hockey starts here.
That's right, brother. Love those guys.
Yeah, appreciate them. Doing some awesome stuff for the game of hockey.
Yes, they are.
And I want to thank our awesome guest, episode 46 with Wayne Simmons. What an awesome dude. Awesome Sim hockey daddy. Player.
The Sim Daddy.
All. Yeah.
He does Sim, it Sim, all. Sim Simmer. Got in a little ruckus again last night in Carolina. Boy, they got pumped by Hurricanes last night. They're having a tough start. We kind of talked about that with Wayne, but he had to go flying in there for someone last night.
I saw that.
My favorite part, I thought it was funny when I asked him about what happened the other night with the fight with Boyle in Pittsburgh. He said, what do you mean what happened? We're losing 7-1.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened.
Yeah, one of the last dudes standing that would actually go out there when you're getting killed 7-1 and go out and set the tone. There's not many guys that actually do that this day and age to actually think like that and actually intentionally go out there and muck it up. So what do you mean 7-1, man?
He said, I'm not gonna be look bad for not doing something. I'm gonna look bad for doing something.
100%. So, that's a good way to look at it, for sure.
I'm sure your teammates, we know your teammates don't mind that, but it didn't. Unfortunately, they lost again.
Yeah.
Leafs Nation's having Leafs a meltdown Nation. Right
now. Oh my god. That is tough.
Justin Bieber's going to stop hanging out with Austin here. Exactly, if they don't start winning some games, I'm kidding. But I know the guy. I don't know the guy.
Biebs.
Biebsy.
You were calling by a nickname basis.
I know him. Like a Biebsy. No idea.
Yeah, they got to do something there because that's a tough start.
Yeah,
it's not going to last very long with that type of performance.
No, but it was great having the Sim Daddy on.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to reconnect with Simmer. It's been a while, and great to see him doing well. You know, it's been a while since he was in the orange and black, and a couple little pit stops, but seems to fit in the old blue and white, and back to his homeland there. So
I never knew he was a Detroit fan.
No, I know.
First time I ever heard.
Why
him
would
say
you ever
that.
Think that? Yeah,
I know. I can't believe I didn't know that. Thought I knew Sim Daddy better. I didn't know Detroit. That threw me off.
You just
actually.
Assumed, man. You just assumed.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, so did I.
Cool, man.
Well, wish him the best. Appreciate him coming on. And that wraps up episode 46 of Nasty Knuckles. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 47. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.